Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. My name is Gina. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life, and it is exciting that you're here with us. I'm glad that you chose to join us this morning, and for those of you online, we're excited that you're here. But isn't it wonderful to worship together? Isn't it wonderful to just hear our voices all coming together and praising God? It's an incredible time, I think. I love starting my morning where we're praising him, and then we're going to learn about the word. And I know not everybody can come every weekend. I know that especially in the summertime, it seems like a lot of you are traveling or doing fun things or have been invited to different places. I've heard people about going to the fair or seeing family and different things going on. So we're excited that you're here. And it's interesting because the summer months do seem to pull people away. It seems like that's the time where we're going to travel. But I asked myself a little bit, how do you know that we are in summer here at the Central Coast? And I guess I know, and I figured out that one way to know that summer is almost here is that you start receiving graduation announcements. You start getting the invite to graduation parties, to attend graduation, and you know when school is out, summer is here. And so that's one way. But then in our household, we have been receiving the wedding invitation this summer. All the different types of wedding invitations, there's tons of them, but we've been invited, and so we've seen those. And then, of course, there's always the birthdays and other celebrations that people get invited to. But I love invitations. I love when you open it up and you realize, hey, our family or I have been included in this celebration. They thought of you. They want you to be there, and it's pretty cool. But then you can also tell a lot about the actual physical invitation, can't you? Like if you receive an invitation that's full of bright colors and maybe got an animated character on it or a teddy bear or a number one, you're like, okay, this is probably for a kid's party. It'll be casual. It'll be great. It'll be fun. But then when you receive the wedding invitation, there are so many types of wedding invitations. And you can tell just by looking at it whether or not you're going to have to dress nice. And usually when you open it up, that's one of the first things I say to myself is, what am I going to wear? Do we get to buy something new? Is my husband even going to want to dress up for this? Like, what are we doing? And then when you look at it, you realize when you go to this event, you'll put on your best behavior, you'll look nice, and you'll want to celebrate and be present in the moment. But this summer at New Life, we've been looking at an invitation. We have been looking at going through the invitation that Jesus offers us in the New Testament. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, there's two halves for the Bible, and that is there's the Old Testament in the beginning, and the New Testament is the second half. The very first book in the New Testament is the Gospel of Matthew. And we have been reading and going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a teaching that Jesus gave through the chapters 5, 6, and 7. And what we've learned is that we are being invited, everyone is being invited to join, to accept the invitation to the new kingdom that is coming, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is offering up this invitation and he's saying that if you accept this invitation, then not only will you be invited and you'll attend, but it'll be transforming of your entire life. See, when we go to a wedding or to a birthday party, we might look good, we might smell good, we might act our best, but then we go back to our lives, what we always do. And this invitation from Jesus, though, is not just an invitation, but what he does is he describes for us what it's like to be citizens in the kingdom of heaven. He says to us that you will be transformed, that we will learn to relate to each other differently than we do in this upside down kingdom that we live in now. In the beginning of the series that we started this summer, Pastor David told us that upside down, a word that can be associated with that, is chaos. So we were talking about how the world we live in and the world that when Jesus was speaking is not the world in the way that God intended it to be. Can't we relate? When we look out and we see what's going on in the world, how we're treating one another, how we treat this world, how we view ourselves, where God is on our level of importance, that's not how it's supposed to be. That we currently live in an upside down kingdom. And so what we've been doing is looking at this invitation. And if you haven't been with us, we've already gone through chapters 5 and 6. Of Matthew. And if you want to follow along, if you want to catch up on it, you can go online and you can look at it. But last week, we went and we started chapter 7. And Pastor David took us through Jesus' teaching about how we should not judge one another. That how you judge somebody is how you will be judged also. So in other words, if you say to someone, they're too far off the rails, God can't save them, whatever it is, that's how you'll be judged also. So we need to be really careful. And Pastor David did a great job of teaching us how easy it is to judge in some of our passive-aggressive remarks. And so today what we're gonna do is we're gonna continue on in this teaching. We're gonna pick up in verse 6, and we're gonna read about to verse 12 about what he's teaching us now. So if you wanna follow along on the screen or if you wanna read it in your Bible, you can, but it goes like this. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Very direct. He talks to us and he's telling us a couple things just in this short passage, but he's also keeping on with what we learned last week. And that is we have to be careful how we relate to one another. Now we're gonna go through this passage, but what I wanna do is I don't wanna go just 6, 7, 8. I want us to take the first verse that we read, which is verse 6, and I want us to then jump down and attach it to verse 12. Because what we find in these two verses is that Jesus is telling us how to relate to one another. And he says this, so if it reads together, it reads like this. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So reading this, and you might look at it and say, well, how are those two sentences about relationship? Well, the very first verse that says, do not give, it really is saying, do not waste what is sacred, holy, precious. When he says the word pearls, and don't cast those to give those to pigs, he's saying, don't give away what's so precious and valuable to dogs and pigs. So then I ask myself, well, are you calling people dogs and pigs? I thought you just said don't judge anyone. Is he contradicting himself? No, he's not. The truth is what he's saying to us is what judgment would look like, I'm not gonna share the gospel with you because you're already going to hell, God can't save you. It's making a judgment. That's putting God in a box. That's saying you know what is best. But what he's saying here is don't waste the gospel. What is precious, what is valuable on those who don't wanna hear it. We need to have some discernment. We have to be able to distinguish between who is ready to hear and who isn't. See, I think about the dogs and pigs. Do they care what we value? So I can tell you no. I have two dogs. These are my dogs. They are a set of beagles. They're not related, but the dark one is Tilly Waffles, and the light one is Hazelnut, and she's a tad bit nutty. And so they're great dogs most of the time. But I gotta tell you, I don't think they will ever care where I buy their food, how much money I spent on it, if I spent hours stirring it just right, or if I serve it on a gold platter. They don't care as long as they can chew and swallow and it lands in their bellies. That's all they care about. And these two definitely don't care about anything but how much food they can eat. That beagles love to sniff and smell all food. And so they don't care. Even if I sat them down and said, let me explain to you that I bought the highest quality. Like, I love you so much that I went everywhere to find this for you. They don't care. They're just gonna take it right out of my hand. And so Jesus is saying to us, what is precious and valuable? What is holy and sacred, which is the word of God? Don't waste your time sharing it with people who don't want to hear it. Now, if you're asking yourself, are we not supposed to share the gospel? Aren't we called to share the gospel? Yes, we are. But have you ever met someone who just won't stop? Won't stop sharing something with you? Won't stop telling you something and just keeps going and going until they get angrier and angrier and they're not willing to stop. See, verse 12 says, do unto others as you'd have done unto you. Treat others as you want to be treated. We don't want to hear people putting us down, challenging us, forcing their belief system, forcing their rules, forcing whatever on us. It feels awful. It feels awful to be pushed on and just totally rattled until you say what they want you to say. The same is true the other way. So we have to learn to respect one another. And Jesus is calling us to share, but he's also calling us to trust him. See, I think the reason why we have some people who are, we would say, are beating people overhead with the Bible, who are constantly just, that's the only thing they say is quote scripture, you're gonna burn in hell if you don't do it, accept Christ. The reason why we have that is because I think we fall and believe a lie. And that is that we save people. We don't save anyone. I cannot save you. I can't even save myself. There is only one who saves. There is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ and by the grace of our Heavenly Father. He is the one who saves. And the more that we know our Heavenly Father, the more that we spend time with him and relate to him, the more we can trust and have patience with those who don't want to hear it. I know it's hard. I know it's heartbreaking at times for some of us to share the gospel or to tell people about Jesus and we get the hand or we get the I don't care or I don't want to hear it. But we love them so much that we want them to know. We want them to know what life can be like with Jesus in your life. But God knows why they're resisting. God knows why their hearts are hard. He knows why they're going to go back and not accept the invitation and go back to their lives. And he's calling us to trust him, to know our audience, to understand. And for those of you who are really verbal, that you're good at sharing the gospel through word, some of us have to remember that there's more than just words. We are called to walk in faith. We are called to love through action, not just word. So we have to ask ourselves, will we hang in there with those who make us nutty? Will we love in spite of the weirdness? Will we hang in there even though they're mean to us and still love them and be there and be patient? Or will we judge and push them away and write them off? Jesus is saying, don't waste your time, but trust me. Yes, spread the gospel. Walk in love. But know your audience, because you know what? How you treat them is how you also should want to be treated. So treat people with respect. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're praying for them and let them be in God's hands. Now we might be asking ourselves, for some of you, you might be saying, how do you do that? It's so frustrating. How do you watch someone live their life and drive it off the tracks? How do you watch your loved ones make decisions that you know are no good for them and you just want to fix it? It's by relating to God. We can only treat each other with respect. We can only be patient with one another and have wisdom of when to talk and when to be there if we're talking and relating to God. He is the one that we run to. We sang this morning, how do I fight my battles? This is how. Jesus is going to tell us in these next verses, starting in verse 7, we'll pick up. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus says, ask. Ask God whatever you want. Ask. That word ask is interesting. It means to pray, but it also means to crave. To crave time with God, to crave wanting to be with him. So he's saying ask. That word seek and that word knock, it means to pray also. So you can actually look at those three words and say to yourself, Jesus is teaching us to pray, pray, pray. Pray. At any time you can talk to God. At any time you can seek him and tell him whatever you want. And people will ask me, can I ask for anything? Yes, you can ask for anything. I don't care what you ask for. If you're talking to God, you are doing something right. Now, whether you get what you ask for is a whole other story. But you can ask, you can seek, and you can knock. When I first read this, the picture that came to mind was of a child. Now, we have one child, so our daughter didn't do this very often because she got all the attention in the world. But for those of you who have multiple children, bless you. I don't know how you do it. But think about it. The child who needs an answer, who wants something, who wants mom's attention, what do? Mom, 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 over here. Mom, now? Can I have it now? How about now? How about now? Mom, 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 mom. What does mom do? Mom goes to the bathroom and closes the door. All right? Child is asking and asking and asking. Mom goes to the bathroom and closes the door. What does a child do? Child's like, I know you're here. I am going to find you. And they walk to the door and they look. I kid you not, children can sniff you out. They know where you are. And they look underneath there and they seek you and they see you and they know. And then they start to knock. I know you're in there. Mom, I still don't have my answer. Knock, knock, mom, knock, 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 knock. Now take that picture. Take that analogy. As a child of the Most High God, of your Heavenly Father, and you ask, Father, 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 and you seek him, and you look for him anywhere, in every place, and you knock, and you knock, and you knock. Can you imagine being children? All of us, unendlessly, that pursuit, that diligence, that determination to talk and to find and to spend time with our Father. How would that change us if we made that pursuit, if we were that consistent in getting what we want, in getting what he wants, in talking to him and to relating to him? It would change us. But what I love about verse 8 is that it says it's for everyone. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened to them. There isn't a person in this room or on this planet who cannot talk to God. And you might be saying to yourself, I ask all the time and I'm not getting what I want. I stopped seeking, I stopped knocking because he never gives me what I want. Well, here's a problem that I see and how we relate to one another, how we relate to our families, and how we relate to God. We have a tendency to ask questions and we better get the answer that we want to hear. Like when we ask our kids, did you clean your room? We go in, we better hear, yes. We don't ask the question with whatever the answer is. But see, that's how we treat God. I still stand on the fact that you can ask God for whatever you want. But I want you to remember this, because in Matthew 6, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, what does he say? He says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We have to be able to pray whatever we want, followed by, "But your will, not mine. God, I want you to cure me of the disease that I have. I want you to save my mom. I want you to rescue this person. But your will be done in your timing. I want to not have to worry about putting food on the table anymore. I want money. I am asking you to help me. But your will be done. Not my will. I know what I want." But the thing is we don't know what the big picture looks like. So we ask for things sometimes that are actually not good for us. The timing would be off. We would hurt ourselves if we got what we wanted. And so we trust God to be the Heavenly Father, to answer our prayers as he sees fit. So he does answer when we ask. We can find him when we seek him. He never goes in the bathroom and closes the door and locks it and never unlocks it again. He always opens it. Always. Because he sees you. He loves each and every one of us. And he wants us to talk to him and tell him how we feel and what we think. And if you've heard me speak before, you know I am a fan of say what you think. Tell him how you feel, because he knows. It's not like you're going to catch him off guard. He knows exactly what you think and feel already. We serve a good, good Father. How good? Well, he tells us in verse 9. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, if we, who are dependent on God, who do things out of selfish desire, who make mistakes, who have temper tantrums, who just get caught up in the world, can give our kids good things, how much more can God, our Father, who is not temperamental and moody, he doesn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed, how much more will God, our Father, give us? See, in the Lord's Prayer, he continues. And he lets us know, when Jesus says it's not just his will be done, he continues on. And in verse 13, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Why say that? Why let us know that we don't give our kids stones when they want bread? Why don't we give our kids snakes when they ask for a fish? Because we are not out to harm our children. We want the best for our kids, but we are dependent on God. Deliver us from evil. We get caught up in the upside down kingdom. We get caught up in this world that is not done the way God wants it to be. We are tripped up by temptation, by addiction. See, in this world, you can pretty much have whatever you want. No one cares if it's good for you. If you want it, you can have it. No one cares if you go into debt buying something. It's your choice. You do what you want to do. You do you. Yeah, but in the upside down kingdom, in this world that is not the way God intended it to be, that means we could harm ourselves. But in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is saying is near and that the invitation is given to us, he is saying that your Father will never, ever give you anything that will harm you. Only that will grow you align you with his will that will speak love and growth and direction. And what I love is our Father is not a pushover. He doesn't give us everything we want because he knows what's best for us, because he is a Father who guides us, who corrects us in love, who loves us so much, he will be there for us every moment of every day. See, in God's kingdom, this invitation that we're being given, we're gonna have to, if we accept that invitation, evaluate our priorities. See, in this upside down kingdom, I think we have fallen for a lot, all of us. We get caught up in things of this world. We measure our status and our worth and our priorities based on what the world says. But to accept the invitation to be part of God's kingdom is to reevaluate our priorities. And so I ask, what do you treasure? What do you treasure? Is the gospel, the gift of salvation, the free gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ? Jesus is teaching us. God sent him. He is the fulfillment. He is the only sacrifice we need. And he defeated death so we can have a relationship with our Father. How valuable is it in your life? How valuable is it in my life? Do I see it as precious? Do I see it as something that needs to be cherished and that I pick and choose when I share it and how I share it? Do I make sure that my loved ones are aware of this gift and the value? He's asking us, what are our priorities? See, if God is at the top, if we treasure the gospel, if we are constantly asking and seeking and praying and knocking, and talking to our Heavenly Father, we are going to be a transformed people. People with a tolerance and a wisdom and a patience and a trust that God's got this. That he knows that we need him and he knows that we need to keep running to him for those that we love. So as we start to close out this service, I know there's a couple groups of people here. I know some of you came here today and you don't know him, or you've been kind of holding out, or you think that he doesn't want anything to do with you, that you're too far gone, or someone actually told you you're just a train wreck, it's not gonna happen. And I'm telling you that that is judgment, and we are not here to judge you. We are here to tell you that if you cry out to Jesus, if you say, I'm tired of leading my life, I want Jesus as Lord and Savior, then say it right here, right now, and he will save you. There is no delay. He will love on you, he loves you, and he will never stop. And then when you do that, tell someone. And then as we sing, give him your heart. Thank him for the gift. But I know there's others who also came here today. You are worried about your loved ones, friends and family who don't know him, people who are sick, and you just feel helpless. Maybe as we sing, this would be a good time for you to just sit and give each and every person to God. To say to him and ask him, teach me when to speak. Teach me when to share. But God, I'm giving them to you. Rescue them, save them, heal them. I don't care what you're asking for, but ask. But I also know there's some of you who are like, I am spending as much time with God as I know how. I'm in a season of doing it. Then as we sing, then just praise him. Give him your all. Give him thanks. And let's worship together.